many piano players. I'm glad that they're willing to play, and appreciate them. Appreciate them. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. Anyone needs a paper, your paper should be something on the front and the back. All right, and it'll be that one. It'll be Ephesians 2:1 on one side and verse 4 on the back side. All right, if you need one, hold your hand up. We'll get you a paper, no problem. We've got plenty back there. All right, and we're going to be on the side that says verse 4. All right, Ephesians chapter 2 in your Bible. I hope that you have been enjoying Ephesians. I've sure been enjoying teaching it. And there's no way to even scratch the surface of it. There's so many truths, doctrinal truths, mainline doctrine as far as I reckon about everything's involved in Ephesians. And so I'm thankful for the Word of God tonight. All right. Anybody else need a paper? Hold your hand up if you need a paper. Need some up here, up front here. Tom, need some up here, up front, three or four up front. Pardon?
It's not Sherilyn, it's not Paul.
No? I'm so proud of you, Paul. That's good. That's good. Sherilyn, if you're watching, I bet you got yours with you. You had it at home. So. Yeah, she's got hers. So. All right. I'm glad we can have fun and laugh and make fun of one another. All right. Everybody all right? Ephesians chapter 2, okay? Now, again, I do not apologize for going slow. And if you think it's draggy, I'm sorry, because I could probably go back and teach the three verses again and not even mention what we've just mentioned. In the last few weeks, okay? So that's how deep the Word of God is, all right? Let's pray together, can we? Father, I come tonight, and you are so great and wonderful. There's no doubt about that. Your care is more than amazing. Your love, your grace, your mercy, sure do thank you. And then, Lord, we come tonight. There's so many needs. Others, Lord, these people that need you. I'm thinking of the ones that we've talked to this week already that don't know you in pardon and forgiveness of sins. They know of you as a God, but they don't know you. And then, Lord, I'm glad that some have made assurance and made it plain that they are saved. And, Lord, we thank you for answering prayer there. Now, Lord, I'm asking you tonight as you open up the Word of God in our hearts and our minds. Lord, we can open it up on our lap. But, Lord, we need enlightened tonight. We need the Holy Spirit to enlighten and illuminate the Word of God. And, Lord, I pray this evening that it'll be opened up inside of our heart and our mind, that when we read it and we take hold of it, that it'll change us, that we'll praise your name again as we see how lost we was and how saved we are. You're great tonight. Thank you so much for it. Now, Lord, please cleanse me. I don't want to be a hindrance. Help me tonight. Cleanse me that I might be a help to our people. And we're going to thank you and praise you through it all. Again, ask for power tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 2, prison epistle. All right, Paul writing from a dark dungeon, prison cell, writing to believers who are surrounded by false doctrine. And I believe we can say the same tonight. We're believers in a world of false doctrine and false belief who are determined to make, they think they're going to make heaven their home because they're good. And we saw that, and I'm not going to get on this hard tonight or nothing, but we saw that even advertised. I did not watch the Super Bowl, nor would I ever. And I definitely wouldn't watch a halftime show. But to praise a filthy-mouthed man for using a verse that had Jesus in it, thinking it makes everything okay, when Kid Rock, who has blasphemed and sung songs like And I'm going to say it for everybody can understand it. Speaking of perverted sexual acts, saying everybody needs a, needs a young girl. The law calls it statutory. I call it mandatory. Now, that's the songs the man sings, but he sung a song and had Jesus in it. Then everybody says, ain't that wonderful? I had a godly halftime alternative show. That's how sick we become. That's how evil we become. So that's just a highlight of what may come in the future, but that's nevertheless, that's where we're at. So when we look at Ephesians, we're seeing how lost we were. And how lost many are. But thank God for salvation and how saved we are now. Do we understand that? So let's look here at Ephesians chapter 2. We'll start at verse 1. It says, and we've done went through verses 1, 2, and 3. All right, but we're gonna hit verse 4 and 5 tonight. 6 maybe. We'll see. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. Now, make sure we read that. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, but God, that's a wonderful phrase right there, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I'll stop right there for now, but we want to go back up and if you want a really quick review and see what we are, what we were, and how we portrayed the lust of our flesh, flip back in your Bible to Galatians just for a moment. Galatians chapter 5, and this is just a good way just to explain what we were. All right, well, this is what we were. This is how we live. This is the works of the flesh. All right, in Galatians chapter 5, let's start at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. All right, them are all sexual sins. That's how perverted we was. Okay, does everybody understand that? Talk to me. That's how perverted we are. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And then look here in verse 20. Idolatry, witchcraft. Now, ain't that odd that them would be two together? Idolatry and witchcraft. Then hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. If you'll notice, these are grouped in certain ways. If you go back and study, they're grouped in the category where they fall. And then verse 21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And that such like is anything that was left out in them, a couple other verses. That's that such like, okay? Now, that's what we were, you understand? But can I go ahead and read on? It says, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what the Bible said. Everybody understand? That's what the Bible said. Now, we say anything we want to say, but that's what the Bible says. And it's not what I believe, it's truth. It's what God says is truth. All right? Remember the quote from last week? It's not what I believe is truth. All right. Truth is not what I believe. Truth is what God says. Whether I believe it or not has no bearing on what God has said. Okay. Now, let's look back at Ephesians. Look at your paper now. Verse 4 is where we're going to start. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. That is such a wonderful verse. And I hope you've been marking in your Bible. It's okay to mark in your Bible. We're not marking nothing out. We're just highlighting, making marks that we can have a reference. Everybody understand that? But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. So let's look at Titus. Titus chapter 3. Now, we've read these verses a time or two in the last few weeks, but that's okay. Some of these verses and chapters I read all the time anyway. But look in Titus chapter 3. Is everybody okay with that? Titus chapter 3. Start here in verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. See, that's what we were. But look at verse 4. See, verse 4 in Titus 3 goes with verse 4 in Ephesians 2. Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 4 now. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. See, everybody understands, if we read from Genesis to Revelation, in every other verse, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, that would be wonderful that it was written down. But had it not been made manifest, it wouldn't mean as much. But it was made manifest. His love was made manifest in that God put on the robe of flesh and come down, and as he put on that robe of flesh to become sin for us and die in our place, there's not proof of God's love any more perfect than that right there. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So this, back up to verse 4 there in Titus 3. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. See, he didn't just tell us that he loved us. He showed us that he loved us. He proved to us that he loved us. See, it become an action word for him. It wasn't just something to say, but he done something about it. And verse 4 is such rich and great. Turn over to Psalms 103. If you'll remember, a couple weeks ago, two Sundays ago, we preached from this psalm. Psalm 103. And let's start at verse 8. Psalms 103. We can even read Psalms 103, verse 4. It said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness, tender mercies. Let's run up to verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And you say, well, where's all the love at? Well, that is all love. That's how he's proven it. He had not dealt with us after our sins. Think about that. He has not dealt with us after our sins. Is that not proof of love? He didn't give me what I ought to have. Right? Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Yes. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. See, that is his mercy. That is his love being made manifest to us in how that he deals with us. Now, what do we deserve? Well, let me ask you, how bad were your children? All right? At times, they was bad enough that you, oh, I'm going to wring their neck. But you didn't. You know why? At times, you thought, I'm going to beat them to death. Right? But you didn't. You didn't. At times, you done had enough. Even your own children, I've had enough. Maybe you even said to your kids, listen, I've had enough. That means I wish you wasn't here. You understand that? In a fit of anger. But the Lord said, he didn't deal with us after our sins. He didn't reward us according to our iniquities. He pitieth like a father pitieth his children. He knows our frame. That's that loving kindness and mercy that he shows us. And he don't get angry. He says, I just think I'll keep. No. He don't say, I'm going to beat you to that. No, he don't say that. He loves us and says, well, here's some grace. Here's some mercy. Now he's not a pushover. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just thankful for the loving kindness that he shows. Is everybody with me tonight? That's all in verse 4 there. How about 1 John? 1 John. Are we still okay? 1 John chapter 4. Let's just start at verse 7. Instead of starting at verse 9, start at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested. Now here it is again, he's proving it. See, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now that's that rich in mercy with for his great love that he loved us with. That's what's in them verses right there. Now that last phrase there, to be the propitiation for our sins, don't ever forget. If you don't have that meaning wrote down somewhere in your Bible, you need to write it down, what that propitiation is and what it means, because it's so great. It's satisfying. Listen to me now. When he talks about being the propitiation, there's no greater love shown than this right here. Satisfying God's righteous wrath against sin. Now that's what that propitiation, this is what Christ done. He satisfied God's righteous wrath against sin through his sacrifice, offering himself on Calvary. Huh? Everybody understand that? Making us favorable to God again. Yeah. Are you hearing me? Yeah. We weren't favorable. We weren't very favorable. Yeah. But he made us favorable, bringing about reconciliation, allowing pardon, forgiveness, and restoration. Now, that's all wrapped up in that little word, yeah. Propitiation. That's a lot, man. We okay with that? Is that not wonderful? That's why when I tell you, when we go back and read the Scripture, and especially Ephesians, it's hard not to shout in every verse because of the greatness of every verse. Are we still okay? Now, let's look at verse 5. Even, what a word. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. Even, huh? When we were dead in sins. Think about that. Let's go to Romans. Everybody still with me? Romans. Y'all okay with all this? Does this excite anybody? Huh? Romans 5. Romans 5, let's start at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And what's said in Ephesians, it said, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. Now it says, Paul wrote to Romans, said this, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Huh? Even when we were dead in sins. Huh? Think about that. While we were yet sinners. We still okay with that? Back to Ephesians chapter 2. All right? Even when we were dead in sins. All right? Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, sounds like Ephesians 2, 1, don't it? And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How many? All of them. All of them. Think about it. Made us alive. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I'm not dead no more. I'm alive in Christ, through Christ, by Christ. All because of Christ. Is everybody still okay with that? Now, this plainly shows, back to Ephesians 2, this plainly shows that salvation is an act of God. It's not an act of man. God does the saving. He does the saving. It's not human merit. It's not making believers. It's not us making ourselves believers. It's by faith accepting what God has done. God makes us alive spiritually. Does everybody understand that today? Does everybody understand that? Now, it goes on here in verse 5, by grace you're saved. By grace you're saved. He didn't have to do it. He wasn't bound by nothing but his word. Right? He wasn't bound by nothing but his word. And until he said he was going to save, he didn't have to save nobody. You know? Think about that. But can I tell you, in his mind, in his infinite mind, before there was anything created, he said, I think I'll make man and I'll save him. And he was bound by himself because he's so pure and holy. Are you listening to me? Nobody in this room deserves to be saved. Nobody in here earned to be saved. Nobody ought to be saved. But by grace are you saved. But by grace are you saved. But by grace are you saved. Huh? It's by God's wonderful, infinite grace. Huh? Think about that. That's how he does it. Y'all ready to look at more scripture? We got all kinds of time. Y'all okay? Y'all don't mind reading the Bible, do you? Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verse 6. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, you're saved by grace. Because if you're saved by work, it ain't grace. It's by grace. Everybody all right with that? Salvation by grace. It's not works. Should you have good works? If you get saved, you'll have good works. But it ain't to get saved. It's because you got saved. Is everybody still okay? Back to Titus. Back to Titus. Chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Wouldn't even sound right. For the works of man bring salvation. See, that wouldn't even sound right. But it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purifying Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. All right? Second Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It says, but we better make sure everybody understands. Let's draw back down to verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoners, as Paul speaking, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. How plain can you get? Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Huh? Back to Romans, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. See, it's a gift. It's grace. It's not deserved. It's not worked for. It's not earned. It's a gift. It's a gift. Second Corinthians, chapter 8. Second Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. The grace of our Lord Jesus, for by grace are you saved. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody understand that? Now, back to Ephesians. Am I going too fast? We okay? Now, Ephesians chapter 2, back again. Let's look at verse 6. And hath raised us. Let's read it all together. Let's go back to verse 4 and read down to verse 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, let's look at this verse here. And hath raised us up together. That's past tense. In God's mind, it's already done. All right, He raised us up already. It's already in His mind. Now, listen carefully. This is eternal security at its plainest right here. This one verse. And hath, past tense, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. See, the works of God are eternal. Now, you need to understand that. What God does is eternal. Eternal life, He gives eternal life. He gives eternal life when you get saved. You don't wait to get to heaven to see if you've earned it, because it's not by being earned. It's not by works. It's by grace. You're saved by grace. Everybody understand that? Now, it says here in verse 6, it says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, the key to all this, the key to all of our salvation, listen carefully, is that we are in Christ. We're not in us. We're in Christ. Paul wrote to the church of Colossae and said, "For we are hid with God in Christ." We are in Christ. It's Christ's righteousness that we have. I have none of my own. For all of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Isaiah 64, I believe, says. All of my righteousnesses. So I have the righteousness of Christ. I am justified freely by His grace. As the Bible tells me, I'm justified by blood, I'm justified by grace, and I'm justified by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the grace that He's provided. All of it is because of Christ. Nowhere will you find anything about works other than the Scripture says that no flesh will be justified by works. No one will. But we are justified by Him. And that's because we are in Christ. Does everybody understand that? All right? Now, He does it, and it's the finished. It's finished to the point. He speaks of it in past tense. Now, and hath raised us up together. He shows us our resurrected position in Christ. Does everybody understand that? We're awaiting either the rapture, or if we die tonight, we'll await the resurrection when these old bodies will be glorified. All right? But as far as God's concerned, that's already been done. See, there's nothing for Him to wait on. He's not waiting to see if we achieve. See, there's where everybody gets sideways here with the Scripture. What is there to wait on? To see if you endure? Well, you ain't. You're going to fail. You're going to mess up. He has nothing to wait on. He does the work. He does the saving. So He went ahead and finished it. He didn't just save us to wait, but He saved us and finished it. And as far as God is concerned, He set us at the throne in Christ with eternal life. Are you hearing me tonight? I don't know if you're hearing me or not. All right? So listen to me now. We're raised spiritually when we're saved. How am I raised spiritually? Because I was dead. Is that not what we just done read twice? For I am dead in sin. I'm dead in trespasses and sin. I'm dead. So when I got saved, he raised me up. I was dead, He raised me up. All right? But that ain't all. He didn't just raise me up for a moment, but He raised me up in eternal life to be with Him. There's no break. Look at me tonight. There's no break from the moment I got saved until eternity is over.
Amen.
There's no break. Are you understanding what I'm saying tonight?
Yes. Amen.
When I got saved, May the 27th, 1973, when I got saved, I got eternal life that night. That Sunday night, I got eternal life. Now, that eternal life don't start next year. If maybe I'll die next year. Maybe I'll die tonight. It don't wait to start when I die. It started then.
Yes.
And it is good as long as God is God.
Amen. It's eternal.
Now, when He quits being God, then we'll have to find somebody else, I reckon. Huh? Moses prayed in Psalm 90, "From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God."
Amen.
That's what Moses prayed. Psalm 90 is Moses' prayer. "From everlasting to everlasting." From eternity past to eternity yon way is God. Huh? And that's how saved I am.
Yeah.
I'm not saved by... See, any other way, you're going to have to be... It's going to have to be worse.
Right.
then it's not salvation by Christ, it's salvation according to you. And if it's salvation according to you, then why did Christ die? If you're going to be good enough, why did he die? If you're good enough to save yourself, why did he have to die? If you're good enough to keep yourself, why did he die and resurrect the third day? If you're good enough to do all that, then why did he even do anything? Well, I believe. It don't matter what you believe. Because truth is not what you believe. Truth is what God says. I'm not saved because I believe it. I'm not saved for eternity because I believe it. I got faith in Christ. That saved me. And because God said it, I got eternal life. I didn't believe in eternal life. That ain't what I trusted. I didn't trust eternal life. I trusted the man Jesus who died in my place for my sin because I was perishing. I didn't trust eternal life. He gave that to me.
Amen.
I didn't trust forgiveness. I trusted Christ. He gave me forgiveness. I didn't trust grace. I trusted Christ. He shed on me abundantly grace from above and all over me. I didn't trust mercy. I trusted Christ, and he gave me mercy. You understand that tonight? Think about that. That's all. I don't know how it's more simple I can explain it. I'm already seated with it. And it's raised us up together and made us sit together. I'm sitting there. I'm seated with him. However God looks at us, however he looks at us, he sees Christ.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. He sees Christ. If he sees me, I'm done.
Yes.
But he sees Christ. He's satisfied with Christ.
Amen.
He sees Christ, and he forgives me for Christ's sake, and he loves me for Christ's sake, and he's reconciled for Christ. I'm reconciled to God for Christ's sake. Huh? Are we still okay? Now listen to me now. He sees us. This blows my mind, but listen to me. He sees us in the beauty of Christ's holiness.
Amen. Yeah, that's what. Yeah.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
When God sees you, when you get saved, when he saves you, then God looks at you and sees the holiness of Christ.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I'm a wretch. I'm a filthy wretch.
Yeah,
but God sees me in the pure holiness of his Son. For that is the only way that I can dwell in a perfect place, is I have the holiness of Christ. Are you hearing me? And that's why salvation, and that's why when people are, yeah, I'm saved. Nah, I don't know if you are or not. I'm saved, man, I'm saved.
Yeah.
Are you understanding me? It can't be, oh, I'm saved. You don't know what it is. Huh? We still okay? Listen, when he sees us in the beauty of Christ's holiness, in the glory of his grace. Now listen to me now. When God sees us, he sees us all in the magnificence of himself.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Are you hearing me now? Listen to me. How saved are you?
Yeah.
I know how lost I was. Oh, but I know how saved I am tonight. For he sees me in the magnificence of himself. Think about that. Does that not blow your mind? Huh? He sees me in his own magnificent perfection. Huh?
Uh-huh.
My, that's how saved I am.
Yes.
That's why I got wrote down the verbs that we see in the scripture. Quickened and raised and seated are all past tense.
Mm-hmm.
It's already done.
Yeah.
It's a done deal. It's a done deal. That's why it is important that we be saved. That's why it's important that you receive Christ. That's why it's so important we tell everybody we can that they need to receive Christ. They don't need to believe in grace. I don't care whether they believe in grace or not. Huh? I don't care if they believe in mercy or not. They better trust Christ. They better receive Christ. I don't need to carry around a dictionary and get them to read it and understand it to understand the words. They need to understand, hey, I'm a sinner. I don't know of anybody that can't understand how filthy he was. I told you about that young boy over at the plant where he used to work. I was over there witnessing to him. Well, it was been probably his last year. Well, y'all know that I took the coffin over there at Dennis Legg had it at the youth camp. He gave me the coffin, and I had it in the back of the truck, and I had to go by the plant for getting the machine out of parts. And I said, I know what I'll do. So I took my, y'all ain't seen, I took my picture. I got in the casket and took my picture. And then I leaned it up against the wall there at the plant, and I went there and said, come on, boys. I said, I want to take y'all's picture in this casket. They said, you're crazy. And I said, no. They said, why are you doing that? I said, well, doctor. And that's when I just got out of the hospital. The doctor said, you could have a heart attack at any time. I said, well, I just started carrying that casket with me. That's what I told them. And they said, you are crazy. And I was told they was a, well, he's a funny guy, black guy over here. He's hilarious. And he said, you get away from me. He said, you're going to jinx me and I'll die tonight. And I said, you do, you'll go to hell. He said, oh. And down through the shop he went. Another fellow ran up there and said, I'm going to be cremated. I ain't worried about that casket. I said, man, you're going to burn twice. Yeah. Yeah. He just turned white. And he got away from me. I said, yeah. Huh? But my point on all this, listen to me now. Listen, we need to make sure people understand how lost they are. That we witness to them and that they receive Christ. Not that they receive the preacher. Not that they receive the church. Huh? That they receive Christ. What is it, Rick? You hammered into the house how many, 3-4 weeks in a row. But as many as receive who?
Him.
Who's him? As many as received him, to them gave he. Them that done what? Received him. To them that received him, give it. Are you with me? See, it ain't I gotta believe in grace, I gotta believe in mercy. Listen, I don't care if you believe in heaven or not. But what I was gonna tell you, when that young boy I was trying to witness to, I had no problem. He said, I'm a pretty good guy. I said, you are? He said, yes, I'm a pretty good guy. Preacher, man, I'm pretty good. I said, are you? I said, you ever lie? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, you're a liar then. Well, I said, you lust. Well, everybody looks to the woman. I said, well, you know what you are? You're an adulterer. He said, okay, I'm an adulterer. I said, no, you're not. He said, I'm not. I said, no, you're a lying adulterer.
Yeah.
I said, do you ever steal anything? He said, yeah, when I was a kid. I said, well, what's that mean? He said, I'm a thief, I reckon. I said, no, you're a lying adulterous thief.
Yeah. Right.
I thought you was a good guy. You just got to tell me you was a good guy. I said, I hear you using God's name in vain all the time. I said, you know, the Bible talks about that being blasphemy. He said, okay, I'm a blasphemer. I said, no, you're not a blasphemer. He said, I'm not. I said, no, you're a lying adulterous thief and blasphemer. I said, I thought you was a good guy. He said, oh, my, a good guy.
Yeah.
No, you're not a good guy. We need to be letting everybody know they're not good people.
Right.
If they're without Christ, they're wicked.
Right.
And they need Christ. I don't care if it's your people, my people.
Right.
We love them all we want to. And we ought to love them. But the reason why is because they need to know how saved they can be. Are we okay with any of this tonight? Huh? Romans 8. Can we go back to 8 and I'm going to quit? Are y'all learning to love Ephesians? Huh? Ephesians is a wonderful book. How about verse 11? Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. ain't none of that got to do with your works. It says if Christ dwells in you. Everybody got that? Back to Ephesians. Chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance? Christ, remember, we taught you what that earnest was. We okay? Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, the redemption of that purchased possession. See, I'm saved tonight. I'm as saved as I'll ever be. Now, as far as on my part, I'm not there yet. As far as God is, I am there. But when this purchased possession leaves this world and is glorified in the body that Christ has for me, it'll be for the praise of His glory. This ain't all there is tonight. This ain't all there is. Are you saved tonight? Oh, if you're not, you need saved this evening. Listen, I got a minute here. Are we okay? Let's go back to Ephesians. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It shows my exalted position. Listen, I'm not trying to be uppity here, but I have an exalted position because I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Where He's at, I'm at. He's in me, I'm in Him. I have an exalted position in Christ Jesus. Is everybody still okay there? Let's look back at Ephesians chapter 1 again, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath passed, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places for in Christ. I'm there. I'm exalted in Christ. I'm in Christ. Huh? And one more. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. That's my exalted position. Glorified with Christ. Alright? That's how saved we are. Trying my best to tell you how lost we were. But oh, how saved we are. Father, thank You for a sure word. And I'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.